was going to say, I mean, I've visited my parents 33 times, so they don't want to live with me.
You have no authority here, Jackie Weaver. No authority at all.
She's just kicked him out.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Jackie Weaver Has the Authority, a podcast where I'm joined by a weekly guest as we answer life's big unanswered questions. With a career in local politics, running meetings and dealing with difficult questions, this shouldn't be too different. If you haven't already, please do press subscribe or follow so you don't miss an episode. Today's sponsor is Brixton Brewery. More about them later. And a reminder that you can support this show on Patreon, which allows us to keep the show going. You can get bonus bits, episode shout-outs, watch podcasts being recorded and more. Google Jackie Weaver Patreon. Or press the link in the notes below. Joining me today is not one guest, not two, but three lovely ladies, Taylor, Hannah and Katie, also known as Drunk Women Solving Crime. Now, I'm not really sure how to introduce you because I'm not sure of the hierarchy of names. And I know people get really, you know, upset about these things. So if I get it wrong, then just... So I'm going to say hello, Taylor, Katie and Hannah.
Oh, that's completely wrong. I should be last. You're quite right. You've done your research. Thank you, Jackie.
There's no hierarchy.
Oh, it's going to be a hard ride. Welcome to my podcast. I've really been enjoying saying that just recently, so I'm going to make the most of it.
Yes.
For anyone who doesn't know who you are or what you do, please introduce yourselves.
We are Drunk Women Solving Crime.
And we are, I mean,
Are you always drunk?
No.
Right, okay.
Well, legally, speak for yourself, legally, Jackie, we have to say no.
Right. I just wondered if you only got drunk for the purpose of solving the crimes.
That is the best time, I find. Because then I feel like I've been useful with my inebriation and not just drinking in a wayward manner, but making the world a better place.
Yeah.
We are a true crime comedy podcast. We've been going for about 3 years. And we always welcome a very special guest. I don't know if I'm dropping a spoiler if I say that you are going to be one of those special guests very, very soon, Jackie Weaver. So we're super excited. And yeah, it's a bit of fun. We talk about historical true crime cases. So we go way back in time and we don't limit ourselves to just boring old murder. We talk about all sorts of things, artists, female pirates, fraud, things, you know, anything that strikes our fancy.
And I suppose you've thought of this already, but if you're having these discussions when you're drunk, there is a danger you won't remember them in the morning. So do you record them?
Well, we do for the podcast, but we certainly do. Like, I find myself, like, we'll find a case, because we have to obviously do quite a lot of research for our podcast. Yep. And I'll find a case and I'll read loads about it. And I'll go, oh, wow. And then I'll have to text the girls and say, have we done this case? I can't remember. So I know there's stuff I don't remember, certainly.
So it is a danger for you. It is a danger.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, clearly this is going to be a difficult question for you because you don't know what the questions are. But I have to ask you if you feel you have enough authority to answer these questions.
Oh.
Well, see, my New Year's resolution is that I'm being more sassy. So I'm going to say, yes, I have the authority.
Good job, Katie. Detective Wilkins.
Yes.
And Detective Taylor.
And I immediately go into, do I? I mean, look, I'm a big fan of yours, Jackie, and I know what a hefty question that is. But look, just because of the company I'm keeping right now, I will say, yes, I have the authority at this moment.
And Hannah?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, there's very little I don't have an opinion on. So let's do this.
And I get the impression just from chatting to you very briefly, you are very supportive of each other. So, you know, between the three of you, you're going to be able to talk there, surely.
100%, 100%. We all bring, that's what makes us such a sort of good crime detective squad, I think, is that we all bring something different to the crime, but not crime in this case.
We're solving the questions.
Well, isn't that what an investigation's all about? Now, first of all, I'm quite sure that your carefully tuned minds will come to the conclusion that I have, which is I don't think that all these names are genuine. That's my theory. So Jojo, jury's out on that one, on Twitter, says, "Hi, ladies, I saw one of your recent tweets about the Titanic. That didn't end well. Do you think there was enough space on the piece of wood for Jack?"
Oh,
that is such a great question. And can I just say, you've caught me on a good day for this, because I have just watched 3 hours of Titanic documentaries. Like, genuinely, I've got one paused.
Wait,
right here.
Why didn't you just watch the film?
Which is also a documentary.
Is it a documentary about making the film or about the actual Titanic?
It was about the shipwreck of the Titanic, and stars James Cameron, because James Cameron, who directed the Titanic, is like obsessed with the wreckage of the Titanic and has gone down to see it like 33 times. And I think, in answer to the question, I think there was enough space, but I think he gave Jack a really good ending there by letting him go down with the ship, because I think that's what James Cameron would want overall, would be to be down there with the wreckage, because he's gone to visit it 33 times. So I think that it was a good death for Jack. So there was enough room, but I think it's deliberate.
Outranks the fact that somebody could have lived.
Yes.
I was going to say, I mean, I've visited my parents 33 times, so I don't want to live with them.
I'm going to have to disagree with you there, Hannah, just because this is a question that has come up since this film was made. And at first, I laughed along with everybody else and thought, yes, of course Jack could fit. But the older I get and the more feminist I get, I just think, why should Rose have to squeeze over on that tiny little door to fit Jack on? And if he really, really wanted to.
He would have just manspreaded, wouldn't
he? Yeah, manspreading. Exactly. What if he had shoved her off? What if he fell asleep and pushed? I don't know. Maybe I've been married too long. But no, the right thing happened.
And do you not also think that there is an issue here about the way men made women dress in those days? So clearly we did need to take up more room.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And also it was impossible. I mean, it was freezing water anyway, but it was impossible to swim in those dresses. They were prohibitively eccentric.
Yeah, if they'd been like jumping out of a plane, then that could have helped, but they weren't. They were in the sea.
Yeah.
That's a picture I'm going to hold on to for a while, Hannah.
Parachute dresses.
Thank goodness for bloomers.
Yeah. And Hannah, I just realized I basically agreed with you. I'm like, I'm going to have to disagree by stating this in a different way.
Katie?
Well, the thing is, I haven't seen the film Titanic because when it came out, when I was 17, everyone was really obsessed with it, and I was really like alternative. So I decided to rebel and not watch it. I think I might have even said this once on our podcast, that I had this pact with a friend and that we both agreed we'd never see it, but then she did see it. But
that's how virginity pacts usually turn out as well.
And then I just haven't, I mean, I've caught bits of it when it's been on TV and I've seen all the parodies. So I feel like I cannot accurately say whether that he could have fitted on that raft or not.
Very honest of you, Casey.
So kind of when you say your alternative, you mean you just went for the Poseidon adventure?
Well, I mean, let's call it that.
I get the impression there's still room for debate over the wooden door.
Yeah, I think that there are some like memes online where they do actually get the measurements from like the prop that was used, and then they work out how big Leo DiCaprio is, and then so I think like the actual answer, I think, is yes, there is enough room. But if you've ever tried to like lift yourself up on a surfboard, it's so hard to get out of the water, particularly if you're kind of dying of frozen.
Like half frozen.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, dying of frozen.
Dying of frozenness. Yes.
Hi, Hannah George, doctor.
Okay, this is a much warmer one to go for next. Anon on Twitter. I'm sorry, but ABBA are wildly overrated. Tell me I'm wrong.
I agree 100%. And I know it's a controversial...
What, you agree they're overrated?
I agree they're overrated. I'm going to get some hate mail.
I don't. I think they're underrated. I think they're amazing. I think anything to do with Eurovision is... Eurovision is another obsession of mine. Like, I don't know where you're getting these questions from, because they're brilliant for me, because Eurovision and Titanic and dogs. So if the next question is about dogs, Jackie, then...
Next one, dogs. Yeah, I'll look for that.
Perfect. Then we're absolutely... This is the best podcast I've ever been on. But yeah, ABBA, I think... Yeah, I love them. I remember... what was that? I wrote a joke about ABBA once, which was... What did the man from ABBA shout at his parents when he was annoyed? I didn't ask to be Bjorn. It's a great joke. Come on, guys. Come on.
It's quite good. Quite good.
I like it because it only needs explaining for about 2 minutes before you actually get the joke. But no, I love ABBA. Not overrated, in my opinion.
Any other views? Overrated?
I mean, the thing is... Where is this rating coming from? Because, like, I reckon they're probably rated just about right. Like, they've got their place. Bit of fun. Like, they're not my favourite band. But maybe they're rated exactly where they should be.
They've been around a while. I mean, for me, they get bonus points for having matchy-matchy outfits.
I love
this.
Their style.
Yeah.
I love a lot of their songs. And actually, Katie, I might switch to Katie's sort of sensible. They're rated just right. I think that's actually spot on.
Okay. Let's see if we can find a fence that's big enough for all of us to sit on.
Hey, I'm very clearly sitting. I very clearly said.
I've basically abstained from everything. Sorry, what, Hannah?
No, I was just saying that I would like to be very clear that ABBA are not overrated. The fence, I'm way in the garden.
Okay. Another ABBA lover there. Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
Read the standing orders.
Read them and understand them.
Hear me.
Appalling behaviour.
Now, you're going to like this one. Bridget, and I think we should invite Bridget to the sisterhood, probably, says, while I love a cocktail or two, there is no way they should be any more than £6 and take about 25 minutes to make. It's just silly. Also, if you had a cocktail named after you, what would it be?
Ooh.
So, first of all, two questions there. Do we agree that there's no way a cocktail should cost more than £6 and it should be made in under 25 minutes? I mean, they're not cooking them, are they?
Well, yeah, 100% agree under 25 minutes. That is extreme. I mean, also, does this even include the queue at the bar to even get the cocktail? So, yeah, outrageous.
Good point.
But now I'm going to do my fence sitting and say, how many shots are in this cocktail? Because, like, if it's, like, you know, a pina colada, yeah, £6. But if it's, like, you know, something with loads of different stuff, maybe £8.
She'll push it to £8.
I mean, any more than this and you can just buy the bottle of vodka, can't you?
Exactly. You can just do this yourself at home for a fraction of the price.
Yeah, it's not... I mean, I have to say, I do speak from personal experience. Do not make cocktails at home.
Can you elaborate, please?
Only very little. I think the main issue, if I can remember, is around measurements. I'm one of those people that, you know, doesn't... you know when you've got cough medicine?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't be arsed putting it in a spoon, so I have two swigs is about right.
I love that you've gone straight to medicine with what you don't measure.
So when it... Well, I mean, some of the things you put in cocktails aren't the same as medicine, aren't they? You know, when it comes to measuring them, I just kind of go, that looks about right.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's and like that, the
there you
Oliver
set
approach.
The problem, because, you know, if it's equal parts,
okay,
yeah, you've got to put equal parts of the next one in.
Yeah.
And then you probably have to swap to a bigger glass so you can get the next one in as well. And it is such a pain when you can't actually get the mixer in at the end. So, you know, I kind of get where you're coming from there. So
hard relate.
Yeah, unanimous there. You know, we want to keep the prices down, girls.
I agree. Yeah, yes, I agree. I don't think I've ever had a cocktail that hasn't been half price, because the good things about cocktails is they always have like a half price cocktail hour, no matter where you go.
Happy hour.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think I've ever paid full price, and half price is just about a rip-off, but not quite. So
You can live with
that. And half price in London tends to be about £6, so like I think you're probably talking 12 for a normal one.
That's the thing, as I'm very jaded from having lived in London and New York too. Just like I remember spending $15 on a drink, which is more than £6, so I don't know. I think I'm the problem.
That's not even and minimum that, wage.
Yeah,
I'm really sorry, I have to cough, hang on.
Isn't she the best?
She's so polite. I remember because last time...
I can't wait to hear her cocktail name. I'm so excited about Katie's cocktail name.
Cocktail, am I right?
What did I miss? Has anyone done their cocktail name?
Yeah, we've all done ours.
That's what happens when you cough.
You were gone for ages.
Yay. There's some really great stuff. Like, we're all going on holiday together. It's going to be mental.
Yeah.
Man, it really sucks to have a cough.
But you know how to get the medicine in you. That's the important thing. Don't waste your time with a spoon.
Now we've got a life hack. Just swig from the bottle.
Well, I'm never going to forget the line, two swigs is about right. I feel like we could apply that to everything. I know my cocktail name, but I have to ask, what's the what is the language restriction on the podcast?
None that I know of.
Okay, so mine's going to be the asshole.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we sort of have detective nicknames on the podcast, and I'm Detective Asshole. It's probably not hard to figure out why. So it's kind of a little label that I try to wear with pride, like I'm a bit of an asshole, yay. Yeah. And it would be very sour, a lot of citrus.
Right.
Nice.
I'm not seeing the link there, but okay.
Well, you don't want it to taste as it sounds.
I was thinking more earthy, I must admit, yes.
Earthy, like a... More of a Kahlua base.
Yeah.
I'm not paying £6 for that. Absolutely not.
I've got my name.
Okay.
Woohoo.
It sums up the contradictory elements of my personality, repressed hippie.
Oh, nice. What's in that?
Okay. What's going to taste like?
That's a good name.
Yeah, there's going to have to be some contradictory ingredients, things that you wouldn't think would go together, but somehow really works when it's together. Just like me. So it's going to have, I reckon it's going to have rum and gin in it. And then maybe some cranberry juice, maybe some pineapple juice.
Ooh.
Seems like it's missing Cointreau.
Yep, let's put some Cointreau in there. Now it's a party.
Well, for about the first 15 minutes.
And then it's
I'm propped to sleep in a chair, yes.
Yeah.
It just sounds like something I would have made up, you know, those early years where you'd be alone in a house and you'd just open the bar, but you had no idea what to do with it. That just feels like gin and rum and juice.
What could go on?
Cointreau. That sounds all right, actually.
Hannah, what are you going to be called?
Okay, I think my cocktail will be the Titanic, because I just fill it with loads of ice and it goes down really easily. Hey.
Hey, wow.
And two of them and you're sunk.
Two.
Yeah.
Definitely booking a cocktail evening with you three.
Yay.
I'll bring my own cough medicine.
I genuinely would drink either of those cocktails. What about you, Jackie? What would your cocktail be?
Oh, I'm not a big cocktail drinker. I think probably because I got frightened to death making one myself.
After this.
I mean, I like things, like pina colada, because they don't taste like alcohol, but they are scary. Mm-hmm. You know, my experience of them is that you think that you could... It's the kind of drink where you think you're doing really well. No, I'll have another. No problem. And then suddenly they hit. And I suppose, you know, all kind of cocktails are a bit like the Titanic. You know, you're kind of travelling along quite happily and then it hits. And then you have that moment where you realise there's no way back.
No lifeboats.
Yeah, you know, you're thinking, okay, I have drunk too much. I don't want to be here. I want to be somewhere else. And you're just going to have to sit it out.
Yeah.
But that's what's been good about, like, lockdown in a way, is the fact that actually when you get to that state with having had too many pina coladas, you're already at home, so it's great. It's just like, I want to go straight to bed. And like, whenever we've been recording and I've drunk too much, it used to be having to get home from Taylor's house, but now it's just getting into the next room and falling into bed.
Just stumble into bed. Yeah. The only thing is, once you do go back to, a bar, it's going to be, what do you call this, a drink?
Yeah. How much?
Because we're going to have been used to sort of, slipping a little bit more than a single measure in there.
Yeah.
Yes, this is very true.
Could I ask you to be respectful to Jackie Weaver, please? You must subscribe
or leave a review.
Sugar puffs. That's not the question. That's the only person asking it.
Oh,
what is
overrated? Just like ABBA.
You know, they're the only other thing.
Yeah, quick fire round.
Yeah, the only other thing apart from asparagus that makes your wee smell of them after you've had them, sugar puffs. That is a fact.
And Barocca.
You can get Barocca wee. Okay, Barocca.
Actually, I might be wrong about
sugar
that.
Sugar puffs and asparagus.
Mate, it's definitely sugar puffs, though. You're right.
Sugar puffs are the kind of breakfast cereal I have often bought. And then when they've all clumped together, thrown away. What is the perfect guilty pleasure film to forget about a hard week at work?
Oh, I'm worried I'm going to say Titanic. So give me a second and everyone else think of something.
This came up on Twitter the other day because it was just, you know, how things go around and they ask what's the worst film that you love and what's the best film that you hate. And I love stuff like that. So there's a film called Save the Last Dance that is my absolute guilty pleasure. So it stars Julia Stiles as a ballet dancer who loses her mother and is forced to go live with her dad, who's a musician in Chicago. And she's the only white person in the school. And she falls in love with this guy. But it's all about dancing, and she has to learn how to do hip hop. So he teaches her, and it is just, it's like half a joy and half excruciating to watch.
I'm still catching up on the excruciating bit at the moment. Hannah, have you thought of
anything? There's a lot of routines.
Have you thought of anything apart from Titanic yet?
Do you know what? It is another thing I've already mentioned, but there is a film on Netflix called Eurovision, The Story of Fire Saga. And it's all about, it's like a Will Ferrell film. It's a comedy. It was out last year when Eurovision was cancelled, of course, because of the pandemic. And it gave me so much like light at that time. I was just like, this is the greatest film that's ever made. I love it with the pure love. I've watched it about 6 times. There's a song in it that I'm gonna have as the first dance at my wedding, like obsessed. So that is my long day, always go to that film, and it's always hilarious.
Awesome.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
That is good. Yeah, because the thing is, I don't really have guilty pleasures. I have stuff that I like and I'm not afraid to... But also it's not, I don't know, like I have like maybe three films on rotation that would be my cheer up films.
Well, give us one and we'll make you feel guilty.
Okay, so the one probably definitely that I've been leaning into in the last year or so is Bad Mums.
Oh yeah, that's great.
But I just really like it. Like, I don't think it's embarrassing. I'm like, I don't care if anyone was going to say it's not like, it's not Kubrick. Oh no. Like, it's really funny. It's a solid film. There's this
scene. It's a great film.
Where they're in the supermarket and they're like being drunk and disorderly, and then they like stop to like coo over a baby and then they run off again. And it's, I just love it. It just makes me happy.
Do you know what? I missed the bit about guilty pleasures actually. I would not have said Eurovision is a guilty pleasure. I would say it's just a, so yeah, no,
it's a proud pleasure.
I think guilty pleasures are such a weird idea, just because I think all pleasures should just be pleasurable. What a tagline.
Yeah.
I think there are some things we don't like to admit that we follow or like or enjoy or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I was pretty brave there. I was brave and you guys...
You know, I mean, but when somebody asks you your taste in music, you kind of think, well, I better not say that because that's too old-fashioned. Or I better not say that because...
I get you.
And then you end up saying the last song that you heard on Radio 2.
Right. It's very true.
I think it's definitely something that that sort of goes as you get older. Like, I certainly felt very self-conscious about all of my tastes up till about 30. And then I think after 30, I was kind of like, who am I trying to impress? Like, the girls from school? Like, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, who cares?
This arbitrary.
Yeah.
Judge. Yeah.
What a child.
I used to...
I was going to ask Jackie what her guilty pleasure is. I know we keep pinging it back to you, but I'm dying to know, like... What's your thing that you're like, oh, I don't want to admit this, but...
I mean, film-wise, my go-to feel-good film is always Pretty Woman. I'm still waiting to be rescued. I think we all are. You know, I think that's kind of, you know, no matter how confident or strong or whatever you are, I think there's always part of us that's waiting to be rescued. And by Richard Gere, but Richard Gere as in Pretty Woman.
Yes, yeah, specifically 1990 Richard Gere.
Absolutely. Well, not even that, but the kind of character he plays on the screen. Because I've no idea what Richard Gere's like in real life.
Yeah.
Musically, I'm still stuck in the 70s.
ABBA then.
Oh, that's a great era for music.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I kind of have that feeling that I should have kept up a bit.
Oh, no, I always have it, I always feel really proud when I see, like, a poster for, like, Reading or something like that, and I'm like, I don't know any of these bands, or, like, you know when you're kind of like, these are just words now? They're like, nope, no idea.
Or there'll be a band and be like, I saw them 20 years ago.
That's my problem, where I don't know if it's the band name or one of the members.
I thought Billie Eilish was a guy for months. That's where I'm at.
You mean she's not?
She's not. Jackie, she's not. She's so popular.
And who's the one that dresses up like a swan? And why?
Oh, Bjork? Or...
Could be Lady Gaga. Play tennis?
I don't know.
Is there...
Bjork, like, dressed as a swan,
and laid
probably
an egg,
about 20 years ago. Yes, yeah,
on the red carpet.
Tennis. Bjorn Borg. Bjork Borg. Wait, that's ABBA. Which one? What's happening?
Ladies, you have already been drinking, I can tell.
The chairman of the council is the chairman of the council.
Hello, I just wanted to thank our lovely sponsors, Brixton Brewery. They specialise in bold, modern and easy drinking beers inspired by the vibrant South London neighbourhood they call home. Like their Cold Harbour Lager, which is a bold and refreshing tribute to Cold Harbour Lane, just round the corner from the brewery. I have had a can or two, and I can safely say is an ideal accompaniment to a summer's evening. Listeners of this podcast can get 10% off their next order on brixtonbrewery.com. Use the code CALLMEBRITNEY. That's CALLMEBRITNEY, all one word, for 10% off your next order, with delivery nationwide. Get a taste of Brixton. Now back to the show. Okay, Jojo.
Jojo's back.
Now this is serious.
Jojo's back.
Actually, you're quite right. Jojo's had two. Yeah, my partner has forgotten our anniversary for 2 years on the trot.
Oh.
What would a fair punishment be?
Divorce?
Listen, it's forgotten the anniversary twice. I'm not sure divorce is a punishment. It could be a reward.
Mm. Wow. Twice?
I'm not sure, really. Yeah, because twice is kind of... I always think it's good to remind... So because
I have loads of follow-up questions, like how sorry was he?
And also, I mean, you know, why was swift action not taken in year one?
Well, this is the thing, because I worry that she's kind of maybe in year one gone, oh no, it doesn't matter, that's so silly, an anniversary.
Right. Trying to look low maintenance.
Yeah. So it's too late for you now, Jojo, I'm afraid.
Well, I don't know. I think you've got to kind of like, you know, really make a fuss on year two. Like, forget my anniversary once, shame on me. Forget my anniversary twice, I'll burn the house down. And then, you know, he won't do it again.
Do you think it would help to send a copy of the Titanic video to explain to him the selflessness of Jack?
Yeah,
so he could emulate it. You know, maybe he doesn't know what's expected of him. And, you know, actually what she wants him to do is figuratively die in a very cold sea.
I was going to say, that feels like more of a veiled death threat.
Yeah, which I'm quite chilling.
I'm not opposed
too
to
much,
that.
You know. Too much?
Maybe it doesn't need to be like the whole film. Maybe it could just be a little edited version of that bit with, you know, a threatening message over the top.
This could be you.
In all seriousness, anniversaries are a funny one because I'm not somebody that takes anniversaries super, super seriously. Like, I don't expect a big fanfare. I'm the kind of person that wouldn't be offended if my husband forgot. I mean, I would definitely be like, whoa, dude, haha, and I'd joke. So I think this is the thing in a relationship, is she or he needs to make very clear just how important this is. And I'm not victim blaming here, but it makes me wonder how clear have you been about what a big deal this is to you. Do you know what I mean?
It's like Valentine's Day as well, isn't it? Like, I'm kind of always like, oh no, Valentine's Day, who cares? And then on Valentine's Day, when people are putting up pictures of their lovely presents, I'm like, well, I would have liked a lovely present. So you have to be clear, I think. Yeah, you're right. It's how much each thing means to... Because if they'd forgotten your birthday, I feel like your birthday, because that's about you, that feels like a really like selfish thing for somebody to forget, because it's kind of, it's your birthday. But with an anniversary, because they kind of part own it, I feel like it's...
Yeah, it's a joint venture, isn't it?
But also, you can, for next year as well, this is a genuine thing as well, you can flag it up, like, in the weeks and months leading up to it. You can say, hey, what should we do for our anniversary? Should we book a restaurant? What can we do? And then he's got no excuse. He's had a heads up. He knows it's coming. He has, at the very least, got to get a card or some chocolates or something.
I love that we assume that it's a guy, and it probably is, let's be fair, but it's so great. We're like, he...
100%. Like, yeah.
My boyfriend is very sweet. Like, he's got a terrible memory, and that's kind of like just one of his many wonderful quirks. But what it means is that he writes everything down on his phone in his calendar, so he never forgets an anniversary, never forgets a birthday. Also, he's written things like, oh, this was the day that I first told you I loved you. This is like, he has every single day, to the point I'm like, I feel really bad because I'm like, is it? Oh, right. Right, okay. So what I'm saying is pop it in your phone and that way and put on a yearly reminder.
So you have a shared calendar.
Because that's how he seems to be thoughtful.
In other programmes, they've called people like that stalkers.
I mean, he is obsessed with me.
He just loves us so much.
Okay, Miranda. She says, why do we think, and now she's assuming that we do, that strawberries and chocolate are sexy? Oh. It is sticky and messy and never sexy. Do you agree?
Well, if you don't think being sticky and messy is sexy...
are you doing it right?
I would say my opinion on that is that if anything can be eat, I'd rather eat anything than use it for sex, if you see what I mean. when I think about strawberries and chocolate, I'm like, I don't want to sully them by, you know, having to sort of do anything else with them other than just eat them immediately. So I don't think they're sexy at all, but quite delicious.
I agree. And I get why people find certain foods sexy. And yeah, I just found no reason ever to put them together. I love both of them and I want them separate, please. I don't want hair where my food is. I don't know. Call me old fashioned.
You're old fashioned.
Yeah, you square.
Katie Sass coming out.
Strawberries are supposed to be an aphrodisiac, aren't they?
Are they?
Are they?
Never heard that.
Is that why I get so horny around Wimbledon?
Is that when you can't get oysters? How a strawberry will do.
Yeah, I mean, oysters to me seem like way less of a sensual thing.
We got smoked oysters in our Christmas stockings. And then when I found out it was an aphrodisiac much later in life, I was like, this is really mixed messages from my repressed parents who were like, wait till you're married. But they're giving us these.
Well, that's why they were tinned. They keep a long time tape.
Oh, I was surprised.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Perfect.
That's brilliant. Wait, you've been eating those?
You're supposed to be putting them in your bottom drawer.
Yeah, the bottom drawer.
So pleased you said drawer there. I was like, wait, what?
Right, last question. What am I going to go for? Right, I'm going to go for this one. Jono says, can we all stop having smashed avocado now? It's had its moment in the sun. Now, I have to say, I just don't get the way we use the word smashed. We do not smash avocados. Nobody takes an avocado and smashes it somewhere, do they? You peel it, you scoop it out, you do that weird and wonderful thing going with a knife to get the stone out. Yep. You do not smash it.
It's true.
Why do we say that? And then chefs introduce, you have this new variety of potato serving where you don't have them whole, you don't have them cut, you don't have them mashed, you have them smashed. Which to my mind is actually lumpy mashed potato because you couldn't be asked to mash them properly. What's the thing about smashed?
I see.
It's just a way that you can charge like £2 extra.
Yeah.
It's just like saying something is organic or free range. It's like, I mean, those things kind of are legit, but like,
if you said mashed, it would sound like it was baby food.
That's actually a very good point.
It really is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They've got to beef up the kind of PR of it.
Yeah. Right, so to kind of make them more manly, so he has to have this vision of these, you know, having been mashed, smashed rather than mashed.
But with the can we stop doing, because I know foods get trendy and there's very much a thing, especially in the UK, of like, this is a very middle class thing to eat, isn't it, right? Like the smashed avocado on toast and your turmeric latte and...
sourdough.
And sourdough.
Yeah, it's the reason I can't afford to buy a house, basically.
Yeah, that's why. Nothing to do with
avocados.
Anything else. Just the avocados. All by themselves.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't mind avocados. Although I hate getting them in a restaurant. You know, when you go out for a meal with someone and they serve an avocado, And clearly I don't go to the highest restaurants. And they serve you this avocado that, quite frankly, you do need a knife and fork to eat.
Right.
Because there is no way a spoon is going into it.
A non-ripe avocado is horrible. It's like an apple.
You ain't even got the crunch of an apple. It's just dense. And you know you should send it back, but you just don't want to break up the party.
It takes a lot for me to send something back in a restaurant.
That's the avocado you want smashing.
Yeah, that one needs a good smash. Take a hammer to that one. The thing is, I'm a huge fan of avocados. As a child of the 80s, my parents got into avocados later than the 70s. So we would, if ever they had a party with their friends, they'd cut the starters would be an avocado cut in half with either prawns or cottage cheese in a little hole. And it was obviously came in the 70s to the UK, but we were doing it in the 80s because we were that cool. My dad wore flares in the 80s too. It was one of my few happy childhood memories. It's hey, avocados, that means it's a party. And actually, they're very nutrient dense and I'm a big fan. So if they're going to be smashed, but I can get them anywhere, I'm actually on board. I'm pro avocado, smashed or not.
Okay. That's the thing that Kate has decided to get off the fence with. She's no, I'm sorry. But
I got something to say.
Okay, so on that note of supporting the avocado and its generation, can I just first of all say thank you ladies for joining me this afternoon. You were such a pleasure. I know a little of something that's coming up for you shortly, since I'll be seeing you on a screen somewhere myself, but what else have you got planned?
So what we're doing is after a year of recording on Zoom, we're doing a residency in London at the Museum of Comedy. So once a month, we're recording two shows back to back with a live audience, which is just going to be so exciting. We can't wait. So you can just go to www.drunkwomensolvingcrime.com and there's tickets and the dates. Generally, it's we're thinking last Tuesday of the month, but it's not always that, but just check out dates on there. And otherwise, the podcast is, we've got 150 episodes up on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. We've had loads of guests. We've had Ricky Lake has been on. We've had Jenny Eclair, Catherine Ryan, and men as well. We've had Adam Buxton, Richard Osman, James Acaster. We do Nish Kumar, yeah. And we have one... 1 week a year where we allow men on Drunk Women Solving Crime. They've been quite fun episodes. But have we got anything else, ladies?
We're also doing the Underbelly Festival in London on Friday the 17th of September. The tickets are already on sale for that. So come along to that if you can.
So that sounds like it's going to keep you out of trouble for the moment. I hope I have the opportunity to join you for cocktails at some point.
Yes.
And make sure you don't give me any of the £6 ones. Only let me go for a £3.50 one. Ladies, it's an enormous pleasure. See you shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode, and make sure you listen out for my appearance on their podcast. Please do subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and if you're enjoying this podcast, I'd really appreciate you rating and leaving a nice review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. You can support the show on Patreon and keep up to date with everything on Twitter at Jackie Weaver Pod. Thanks again to my main patrons, Helen Rounce, Connor Farley and Judith Elliott. Thanks for listening, and see you soon.
She's kicked him out.
Jackie Weaver is the authority.
Your time is up. Subscribe and leave a nice review. Follow at Jackie Weaver Pod on Twitter. Support the show on Patreon. We hope you enjoyed the show.